From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Jeremy Hobson.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. It's Here and Now. Well, it has been a busy week in Washington, and after much anticipation, the House voted through a bipartisan agreement on the budget just last night.
Which means it is now the Senate's turn, though it looks like there won't be any action in the Senate on the budget until next week. NPR senior Washington editor Ron Elving joins us with the latest. Welcome back, Ron.
Good to be with you, Jeremy.
And I have to say, this is kind of an unusual situation where it looks like it's going to be easier perhaps for the House to reach a bipartisan compromise than the Senate. And I want to get to that. But first, let's listen here to Daryl Issa, this Republican congressman from California. Here's what he had to say about the budget.
It's the best compromise you can get in divided government. It's that simple. It's nowhere close to what Republicans like to have.
Not really a ringing endorsement. And Ron, Democrats are saying a similar thing on this. Why such a broad bipartisan vote on something that neither side seems to be very happy with?
Because the alternative is another trip to the cliff, another chance to fall off the cliff, or to have another government shutdown in January, and or to have another crisis over the debt limit in February. We can avoid all those things with this joint resolution of the House and Senate, which would last until October of 2015. And that kind of truce right now sounds pretty good, even to extraordinarily conservative House Republicans.
And to some of the outside groups, although they were urging a no vote on this budget, so it brings back memories of what we just went through. But House Speaker Boehner went after these groups in a press conference about that, and here's what he had to say.
They pushed us into this fight to defund Obamacare and to shut down the government. Most of you know, my members know, that wasn't exactly the strategy that I had in mind. But if you'll recall, the day before the government reopened, one of the people at one of these groups stood up and said, well, we never really thought it would work. Are you kidding me?
Ron, I bet some people are wondering, why didn't he say this before?
Some people are wondering if somebody turned his microphone up at that moment. But in fact, he just kind of lost it. And I think the reason he didn't do that back last fall was because he didn't know that he had the votes behind him to make that stick. Yeah, last night he got 70% of his Republican caucus behind him for Paul Ryan's budget deal. If John Boehner had felt confident that he could bring 70% of his Republicans with him back in September, we never would have had that government shutdown.
Well, I don't want to belabor this, but you're saying that the government shutdown was such a traumatic experience for Republicans that they've decided they just aren't going to play that game again.
In the House. Now, on the Senate side, it's not quite as clear that you're going to be able to find the five Republicans you need to get to 60 votes. Remember, it takes 60 still on legislation.
Right.
They changed the filibuster on nominations. But this joint resolution is going to need 60 votes in the Senate, and that means five Republicans. And right now, we only have one Republican committed to voting for it next week when the Senate takes it up.
And there's this piece today in the New York Times about how bad the relationship is between Republicans and Democrats in the Senate. A lot of people blaming Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid.
Yes, because he is the Senate Majority Leader. And because he has chosen to keep the Senate in session the last two nights, they have gone at least in session, not necessarily talking constantly, all night long, Wednesday night, Thursday night. And it looked for a while like they might do it straight through the weekend. They've decided not to do that. Not too surprising, so close to the holidays. But they will be back next week, and they will still be all tangled up with this nomination process. There are some 70 executive appointments and judgeships still hanging fire. And while the possibility of a filibuster has essentially been forestalled by these changes that we've talked about that Harry Reid made, they still have a lot of procedural things that the minority can do. On the Republican side, they can bring up all kinds of little things to make things be read at length out loud. And Harry Reid is making them actually do that and keeping the Senate in session continuously so as to run the clock and get to these nominations.
And when you say continuously, I saw a report today about Senator Angus King, the independent from Maine, having to sleep on the couch in his office, which is too short for him because
yes,
he's a
I'm
tall
sure.
guy. Ron, you know, we should say that while the budget deal did pass through the House, the debt ceiling fight could still come up again early next year, right? That's not sorted.
That's right. The next time to vote actually on the debt ceiling was going to be in February, but that may not be necessary. And the reason it might not be necessary is that in addition to somewhat lower levels of spending, the federal government right now is experiencing a freshet, a small flood of revenues that is bringing the deficit, the annual shortfall, down rather dramatically. In fact, next year it looks like we may have the federal budget deficit down to about $500 billion, which which would mean it would be below 3% of the gross domestic product, and that would put it right on the post-World War II average. It's not exploding anymore. It's coming down and rapidly.
Hey, Ron, real quick, do you think the House will pass any of the immigration reform before this Congress is over?
The John Boehner that we saw this week might be able to move immigration reform in the House. Stay tuned.
Ron Elving, senior Washington editor for NPR. Thanks, as always.
Thank you, Jeremy.